if you just the simple tweak where you continue to communicate to the customer about their order after the purchase, that simple tweak can save you a lot of time in customer support inquiries. And it also saves you a lot of money in those lost orders where people just click refund because they don't know what's going on.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Join us in this episode as we talk to the founder of TrekMate, Irinia Podobnaya, about her journey of starting a business in China, running an e-commerce company, and developing a software to help e-commerce providers with tracking and customer communication. Hear about her experiences and insights in building and automating processes, integrating with e-commerce platforms, and providing beginner-friendly solutions for tracking and customer communication. Stay tuned to hear about her experiences and insights. Irina, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you, Junaid, for having me here. And my surname is a tongue twister. It's Podobnaya. Yeah, so Irina Podobnaya.
Podobnaya. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Irina, really awesome to have you here. Let's walk through memory lane and share with us how you got started. Where does the story of Irina start?
Yeah. So actually, it's not just a story of Irina, it's a story of TrekMage. So it's the company that I represent and I'm the founder of. The story started way back when I was working in an office and I was just not really liking what I was doing because all the office jobs, they are pretty much alike, where you just have to follow the orders of the higher ups. And I was just feeling stuck and I felt that like I could do so much more. And that's when I did something that not a lot of people would consider the next step. I got married and we went to China with my husband to start a business there. So that was quite of a leap of faith at that point because we have not even, we didn't even understand what we were getting into.
Sure.
And we just thought that, oh yes, we've worked in an office. That's how we know the business and that's how we got there. Yeah, and then like for 2.5 years, we were running in a fulfillment center from China without speaking Chinese. Yeah. And that was quite an interesting situation to be in. And after that, we just literally, we transitioned to that business. That was our first attempt at doing business. And it was really draining because we were helping a lot of like retailers, e-commerce entrepreneurs. But then we were working in the warehouse ourselves. And that was like a step backward from even the job that we had.
Sure, yeah.
So it's sure for you, but for us,
it wasn't different.
Yes, it was different because we were dreaming of building a big company and we were dreaming of really making it a success. Mm. But then again, when it comes to physical goods and Chinese suppliers and all the other things that we had to deal with, it wasn't quite straightforward and we didn't figure it out at that point. But then later, still, we developed the systems that were used in our processes because we're only two of us and like around 100 customers with various orders of like varying quantity.
Sure.
And what we had to do, we had to automate or die. And we decided to automate. So that's how we created the tool that helped us with fulfillment, keeping track of all the packages and informing the customers of like the order status and all the other things.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how TrackMage was born. And it wasn't TrackMage initially. It was just an internal tool that we were using instead of Excel spreadsheets. Yeah. And then later, when we just decided that we needed to break out of this like self-imposed slavery, because we were our own, like in our own self-created servitude.
Yeah, you're your own jailers.
Yes, we just decided that we're not going to continue that. Mm-hmm. And we closed the business in China, and then we moved back to Bulgaria. And still, we had the tools, and we built them, and we had the code. So we decided to make it available for other entrepreneurs to use. We had to do a lot of tweaking, definitely, for people to be able to use. So we developed integrations with the Shopify, WooCommerce, other platforms, because we had our own custom store that this tool was operating with. So then, yeah, that's how we ended up with the software as a service. And that's how we've been doing this for the next 4 years, up until now when we are talking.
Wow. You were working in an office environment, which you did not like. So you decided to take matters in your own hand. Okay, I know how to do it better. I've done this before. You got married and moved to China to then start this company.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of work were you doing that really said, no, this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life? And what was that turning point?
The turning point was really just that I just felt stuck in this office environment, just because like I wasn't doing anything really interesting, though. I was the export manager in a company that used to sell frozen berries. Okay. So I was the frozen berries salesperson, basically. And I had to fill in all those invoices, documents, bills of lading, like pallets. I had to even visit the warehouse where it was like minus 18 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
Which is, I don't convert.
It's very cold.
Yeah, it's quite cold. Yeah. So the thing is, like, it was very taxing. And then I actually left the camp. I heard the rumors that instead of me, they had to hire free people. Just do all the activities that I used to handle. So I just understood like what kind of a powerhouse I used to be in the company. But yeah, the thing
Now that's pretty amazing. And how many years would you say were you in that previous position that you decided to leave and start your own company?
It's been around a year when I literally like it was my first job after the university, and after that maybe half a year in a different company where I was selling grease for the car parts. Okay. So again, it wasn't about the product, but it's the easiest way to communicate what I was doing. So I was just selling some product that had the manufacturer. Like my employer was the manufacturer, and I had to find them some enterprise contracts to just really sell it. So that's why I thought that I understood sales before I went to China.
Yeah.
But it turns out I had to learn so much more about marketing, how to get people to buy from you online. Mm-hmm. And initially we had really no idea about marketing, how to set up even the basic funnels or even basic communication. We used to just reach out to people through Facebook, through direct messages when it was possible.
No, wow. That's really cool. I like that journey because you got curious, right? Okay, I know I've done this, shouldn't be that hard. But then when you take the journey is when you realize, okay, oh, so many more things I have to and learn and discover and put that together.
I really like that metaphor when you are actually taking the leap of faith, and then you're like, in the middle of falling, you have to build a plane. That's exactly what we were doing. Okay, I need to build a plane. Okay, why is it not working? Okay, how much longer until we hit the bottom? Yeah.
Absolutely. Or deploying your parachute as you're coming down, and then that parachute then enables you to, okay, soften your fall as you're coming down.
When it comes to parachutes, we were not that prepared. We had to rely on like family and friends at that point. Sure. Like, oh, save us, please. Like, flag.
No, it's really good because so when you have the curiosity and when you have a imminent debt, essentially, right? Okay, we need to figure out how we're going to survive. So running that fulfillment center in China for 2.5 years without speaking Chinese, now that is something else. How did you manage to do that? Was there some software that you used to enable you to communicate with the people around you, or what was it?
Yeah, definitely. We were using the smartphones all the time. And it was the only means of communication, because whenever a Chinese person speaks to you and they understand that you don't understand, they start writing. And we always go, okay, yeah, you're right, right here. Because in China, they actually have around 16 different dialects,
wow,
which actually are like the written language is the same, but the pronunciation is vastly different. Right. And they even have translators from one dialect to another. So we were not an exception in China. So we're like, okay, you don't understand, then I start writing. But the thing was that then we were writing not on a smartphone where we could translate what we have written, but on a piece of paper, like it was just utterly useless. Okay, like I still don't understand. Like right on the screen, yeah.
Amazing what technology can do for us in this evolving times. I love it. All right, so next up, as you're continuing to build your company, then you decided to move back to your country, Bulgaria, and now you're running your e-commerce company where you've developed a software that's helping other e-commerce providers support. Like, you created an application that works with other e-commerce platforms, for example.
Yeah.
You mentioned Shopify and WooCommerce.
Yeah. I can really simply explain what it does. So how you order a product from Amazon and then you get like this neat like timeline when it is going to get to your house and then after you receive the product. Yes, the tracking. And you can even share the tracking. Sure. Also, you receive like emails about the whereabouts of the order and if something changes. And also they collect reviews in the end. So we take all that fancy functionality out of Amazon and make it available to all the retailers who are not using Amazon. We take it and make it available on Shopify, on WooCommerce, on ClickFunnels, and etc.
That's really powerful. And people need that information because they've spent the money. Now they're anxiously waiting for their product to arrive. My son's always asking me, is there any new packages today? Is there any new packages for Amazon? Because we purchase things from Amazon or we get things from Target and Walmart, all these different locations, and there's something arriving in the mail. So that is really cool that we're able to track through the software and having that capability available on other platforms. So you mentioned that it's available to work with Shopify as well as WooCommerce. How easy is it to integrate?
For those platforms where we have a direct integration, it's a one-click install and then just next, where you fill in the information about your store or some customizations. If it's from Shopify, we do everything for you. We use the styling of the store to customize the landing page. Mm-hmm. Like everything is already your brand colors and like the styles. So we copy everything basically.
Nice. Very cool.
So yeah. It's very much like magic. That's why like it was called Track Magic in the beginning. And we had to realize like Track Magic was not available. Okay, Track Mage. Now the next best thing.
Yeah.
We didn't realize like, at that point that people don't pronounce it the correct way. Like they like look at it and like Track Mage. What?
Track Mage. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, Track Mage.
So you have a few different tracking, or you have a few different plans for Track Mage. You have a forever free plan, a starter, and a basic, so people can, depending on how many orders they're going to be receiving on their machine or
on their store,
on their store, they can use this. That's very cool.
We strive to be beginner friendly, just because when you are like, I still remember how I used to package all those boxes, and I don't want people to be stuck in this routine where you have to, I don't know, send hundreds of messages just replying to where is my order question and like staying up late during the Chinese time zone hours. Yeah. It wasn't really a pleasant experience.
It's not.
So that's why automation can save people a lot of time. So even if like the orders are not that high right now, and it's not such a big problem to reply to every occasional email, what if your marketing actually works? And at some point you get like 16,000 orders, how that happened to one of our customers. Yeah. And it just depends. Yeah. Yes, it's not just that you're stuck. It's just overwhelming with like all those people writing here and there and just asking questions. And you're like, oh my God, I need to hide. Hide me, please, from all this crowd.
No, this is really powerful. I love it. All right, so let's take a quick break. Thank you for sharing your journey, how TrackMage got started, how you got the inspiration and took that journey and building that plane while in the air with your husband. And it's been really awesome talking with you. So let's take a quick break. And when we get back, you can share 3 hacks to take away for the audience.
All right. Thank you very much.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at Humble Zone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com. And how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Hey guys, welcome back. We've been speaking with Irina, and I still don't know how to say her last name, but she's been very generous with her time sharing how she started TrackMage and what inspired her to bring this really automation tool to the forefront. So Irina, I understand you have 3 hacks to share with us.
Yeah, I do. Since we were already talking about e-commerce and some things that people might benefit if they run an e-commerce store or if they sell any products online, except for digital.
Sure.
Yeah. The first hack that is obvious, but not a lot of people realize that it's important, is to bridge this communication gap that happens after the purchase. So when the person actually buys the product, when they receive a confirmation email, that's it. Then later they are left waiting for weeks, sometimes months, depending on where the product is shipped from. And they don't really feel that the brand is there. Sometimes in some dire cases, they get nervous and they click the refund button just because they don't understand if the product is getting there. If you just the simple tweak where you continue to communicate to the customer about their order after the purchase, that simple tweak can save you a lot of time in customer support inquiries. And it also saves you a lot of money in those lost orders where people just click refund because they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I also would like to mention that when the person is buying from you, they are actively participating in this process. Mm. But then after that, you are the active participant, like as an e-commerce
the
seller.
The ball's in our court,
Yes, but everything of that sort, it just happens behind the closed doors and the customer doesn't know about it. And the only communication they receive is just like occasional email that is coming to them about the order status. Mm. So that's why it's important to bridge that gap so that the customer doesn't feel anxious and that they are entertained while we're waiting. Mm. Because like I have a lingering suspicion that a lot of customers just want to ask about the order status to make it come to them faster. It's almost like with those managers, okay, if I ask about that task 100 times, maybe it will get done faster. Mm. Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
I like it.
So, yeah. So the second hack probably would be to ask for reviews. In a lot of cases, I've seen that people, they don't have anything set up that asks for reviews. And even though they provide amazing customer experience, they sell great products, they simply don't ask for reviews.
Yeah.
And this way, not a lot of people really leave those reviews. Because if everything is awesome, the person is not tempted to really leave a review if they are not even asked to do so. So the idea would be to really reach out, ask them for a review, and then make sure that everyone has the opportunity to leave that review. Because I've seen some interesting cases where the person gets redirected to a page where they click the button, but it doesn't work. So right. Make sure that it works as well.
Make sure everything
not
is
only
working.
Yeah. And then the last part, like the third one, would be to really have some customer support in place. Because I do believe that customer support is part of marketing. It's not a cost center. It's not something that's eating the cost. It's something that creates this rare opportunity to really communicate to your customers, make sure that they understand that you care about them. And also, it's an opportunity to upsell them. Because during customer support, you can always establish like another connection and you can also suggest additional products for the customer to buy. So customer support really matters. It not only prevents those problematic issues where the person issues a refund or chargeback, but it also creates this, I don't know, like solid relationship between the customer and the brand.
Oh, that's so true. You gotta have the customer engagement as the product is being shipped, as the product is arriving to them. And when it's arrived, then you can continue to communicate with them. Hey, how do you like this product? Would you like to review? Is there something that you found that we can improve on? Absolutely amazing. Love it. All right, Irina, let's take a journey down some of these questions I like to ask my guests. Number one,
all right.
What is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
I believe, like from trial and error, that hobby would be improv comedy. And I wish I got into it sooner because it's so much fun, even if online. Yeah.
I love it. I found out recently a friend of mine just graduated from his improv comedy classes. And I was like, dude, that's so fun because you're literally on your toes and you're able to make decisions so quickly as scenarios are presented to you.
Yeah. And it's also very fun because a lot of people around you, they are just like making up those crazy scenarios. Oh, I'm a horse. Oh, I'm an orange. And it definitely creates something that we don't experience in real life, that where you can literally be anything or anyone in any circumstance. And then it's also funny in the end.
It's hilarious. There was a UCB show called Whose Line Is It? And it was very similar to, it was actually all improv. It was a show that used to air out here in the US. Next question.
I haven't seen that one, but
to look it up, Whose Line Is It on YouTube. Next question. What did you want to be when you were a child?
That's going to be a surprising answer, but I wanted to be a scientist. I wanted to be really like a physicist. So I wanted to study some nuclear physics or something. Yeah. And my intentions at that point were that I wanted to make some kind of discovery or scientific discovery, or I believed that it's like, it's close to magic, because when you really understand like how things work and what they consist of, you have the control. You really have the power. Oh, what did I know at that point?
But no, 100%. It's really fun, especially being a scientist and experimenting and figuring out how things work. And that's what my podcast is all about, right? It's all discovering how to do one thing or another thing and how to basically find those moving pieces as you're moving forward. Next question, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
My favorite movie, and I'm hesitant to say it, but probably it's The Fifth Element. I have watched it so many times because like my mother also liked that movie and we watched it so many times. So I'm hesitant to say if I really still like it or I'm just used to it. It's not a movie, but a habit by now.
No, The Fifth Element is one of my favorite movies as well, especially the futuristic view that they have, and you're flying through space and doing all sorts of things.
And I still think that the best scene in the whole movie was when Bruce Willis was eating ramen and when it was from this flying cart.
Yeah.
And I believe like this was the like the smallest detail that made it all realistic. Because Vietnamese people with the ramen, like, okay, yeah, that's great.
Exactly.
All right, it's still Earth.
Yeah, absolutely. Next question. What movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Oh, interesting. So I would have chosen... Oh my God. Because that kind of creates an interesting dilemma in my mind. Because if I had to choose a character, and whom should I be? Like, I always think about the... like the circumstances they are in and what happens in the end. So like, not every movie. So like a background character, like in which universe probably? Just, I think somewhere where magic exists, but not in a Harry Potter way, but in some kind of like, maybe the Lord of the Rings.
Kind of Lord of the Rings magic. Or even Doctor Strange. There's a lot of magic in Doctor Strange. That's the one.
Yes. Where the magic actually feels like magic, not some like, I don't know, like a flipendo.
Right, exactly.
I would have been a magician, like of some sort, maybe a dark magician even, but I don't know in which movie specifically.
Nice. All right, next up, who is your favorite superhero?
That's easy. I don't know if that character can be considered a superhero, but it's The Mask. That's like
the mask with Jim Carrey.
Actually, even the original one, the mask, like the big head, like that killer, like, again, before I discovered the origin, before I've seen the graphic novel, I thought that was a fun movie. Then I discovered the origin and I've seen the same scenes, like how they were like they were G-rated, like they were all transitioned from this graphic novel where everything was really brutal to what it was. And I do believe that it's unfair that women don't wear the mask that often, or they don't wear it at all. I think they just thought, that looks ugly. But no, it doesn't. It's just like, women are not given the opportunity to wear a mask.
Yeah, you're so right. That is an interesting one for sure. I haven't thought about it in that way. All right, last question. If you were a board game, what would it be?
If I was a board game, I guess Uno. Just because
Uno is actually a card game, but I'm looking
card
for
game,
a
board like game. Board game. I don't know that many board games. Like I just like I will have to improvise. Like the only thing that comes to mind, it would be Dixit, where you have to guess the words based on the associations. Or I don't even remember the rules, but I remember those fancy cards where this is some kind of like abstract,
like Pictionary or something like that.
Yes. Like it's all about like that topic of dreams where you have to just like you see the card and then you have to like share your associations and people will have to guess the word. So it's something like that. Yeah. That's why I'm saying like I just don't have that much experience with board games.
No problem. Not a lot of people have played board games recently, although there are new board games coming out almost every month. It's crazy. It's a very niche audience there.
Yeah. That's why I thought that Uno was a board game, maybe like Cards Against Humanity as well. Mm. But like these are closer to what I am.
These are closer to the board games. Okay. That works for me. All right.
Okay.
So we've been talking with you, Irina, and it's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for your time. Where can the superpreneurs find you?
I believe the best place to find me would be trackmage.com. That's our main website, and you can find all the social media accounts related to it, like in the footer. And definitely welcome to visit. We love a new audience, and I would love to help you in any way if you write to the customer support, because customer support is important. And that's
absolutely. Awesome. We'll be sure to include the link to the site on the show notes. Thank you again for your time and sharing your journey. Have a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.